Good morning. I am excited to get a chance to share with you something that God has been speaking to me and teaching me. But first, I need to probably explain to you something that you might not know about me. You've seen me up here doing announcements, and I've known a lot of you for a long time. You know, I at least come across as a pretty outgoing person. I like being around people. I like to consider myself pretty social, like being in groups, at least most of the time. But I am a completely different person when things get uncomfortable. Wait till it gets weird and watch me hit the road. Maybe you can relate. I don't know if anybody else is like this, but have you ever been in a group? Maybe you're at a party and you're with some friends and they get into, not a fight, but just a disagreement, and things get uncomfortable. That's me faking a laugh and walking the other direction. Maybe you've been at work and a coworker starts to share with you, you know, something difficult that happened over the weekend. They start to tear up. They start to get emotional. That's me changing the subject real quick, right? I'm going to share with you just probably the most embarrassing example of this. I hope I don't regret this, but I work downtown, and so when it's nice, I like to walk along Riverfront Park down along the river. And at lunch, not during the workday, because that would be unethical. But during the workday, sometimes I'll take a break at lunch and take a little walk. And so I'm walking up the sidewalk, and I see somebody at a distance that I'd had sort of a tense disagreement with, and I didn't want to continue that. You know, I just didn't feel like having that conversation. So. I ducked down behind a park bench and pretended to tie my shoe and waited until they passed, and then I stood up and walked away. Now, it sounds really embarrassing. I do regret telling you that story. I'm not going to lie. It was embarrassing. Maybe I'm not the only one who's pulled out their phone and pretended to be on a phone call to avoid a conversation. Anybody? Good. I'm glad that you guys are better socially adjusted than I am. I'm not proud of it, but, you know, I know myself, and I know that when things get uncomfortable, I don't have a fight or flight response. I just have a flight or flight response. Author Brett McCracken wrote a book called Uncomfortable, where he talks about some of the uncomfortable aspects of Christianity, and especially within the Christian church, and how that can actually be a good thing if we learn to accept it. And so today, I want to spend some time and just circle around one question that he poses in that book. And that is, what should we do when I feel like my church gets too uncomfortable? Now, the Bible is very clear on the importance of the local church. It's within these relationships that we as Christians, you know, we worship together, we grow together, we serve and exercise our faith, we experience true community. And it's an integral part of our faith journey is committing to and serving in the local church. And, you know, many people will commit to a church and serve there over years, and so you build relationships, and you have years of learning how things normally are and social cues of just that's the normal routine, and we build into just a comfortable routine, and that's okay. Many of us go with our natural default, and that is to look for comfort, and that's okay. But what if our comfort-first compass is defective? What if at times we should be looking for the uncomfortable or hard thing as our right sense of direction? Now, I'm sure many of you can think of a time when your church experience became uncomfortable. Maybe that's when a relationship that you've grown over years and years of growing together, now all of a sudden is tense and cold and you don't know why. Maybe there's been a personality conflict with someone and things are just difficult and makes you uncomfortable. I think everybody can probably relate to a time where you've had to come to a group decision, get five people together and try to get them to all agree on the best way to do something, and things can get uncomfortable sometimes. My point is just that churches are filled with imperfect people, and we're going to have uncomfortable situations. And what if we can't even agree on what comfortable means? You know, I've had the privilege of serving here at Devonshire on the media team for years, and you know, I love it. It's something I enjoy. It's something that you know, we have official responsibilities. We help with the technology. We help with the microphones and the lyrics on the screen and things like that. But there's unofficial responsibilities too. You know, the chair that we sit in is dangerously close to the switches that control the fans. Devonshire, I love you to pieces. We agree on a lot of things, many important things, topics of faith. But you, and this may come as a surprise, you as a body do not agree on what a comfortable room temperature is. On a pretty regular basis, somebody will come back to us during service and they'll explain that they are dying, that it is 150 degrees and they are sweating and they cannot take it. So we'll do our best to help. We'll turn up the fans. And often, within minutes, somebody else will come back with their coat on and they are shivering and they explain that frostbite is setting in and they are dying. It happens, and it's just to say that, you know, it's difficult for us to even agree sometimes on what comfortable means. So, for today, let's just accept the fact that it's important to serve and commit in a local church, and that when we do, we're going to find ourselves in situations that are eventually uncomfortable, and that's going to make things difficult. The passage that we're going to look at today is in Ephesians. If you would, go ahead and turn with me. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start out in verse 11. I'm going to be reading in the NLT translation. A little background. The early years of the church were anything but comfortable. Even if we ignore all the social and political dangers that the folks in the church at that time were facing, it was tough for them outside of that just to meet as a unified body. Paul knew that this was happening at the church in Ephesus, and he was writing to them for one of these reasons, to speak to them and encourage them in this. So if you would, go ahead and read with me. We're going to start in verse 11. He says, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So, now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." So, Christians in this passage, they were coming from the Jewish faith, and they were struggling to fit in and accept their brothers and sisters from other cultures. Those customs that they had were scary. It seemed normal to one side, but it was new territory for the other. And this was tearing them at the seams, and it could have easily derailed the church from their mission. But Paul knew that this tension that they were facing was a strength if they could just accept it. And for us today as Christians, we should embrace, rather than avoid, the uncomfortable aspects of committing to and serving in a local church. No matter how uncomfortable or awkward or frustrating it can be, what if we learned to love our church because it challenged us and because it made us uncomfortable? It took us out of our comfort zones. But why, right? Why would we do that? Why would we remain committed or even look for a situation that makes me uncomfortable? I mean, this is countercultural. This goes completely against the average American dream. Take, for instance, new cars that we have. Many of you have been in a new rental or a new car. Many new models have temperature-controlled seats. Not just temperature control, but temperature-controlled seats. We've gone past heated seats. We now have air-conditioned seats. We can control the temperature to the exact degree of the seat that we sit in. So why would we accept discomfort in anything? Why would we look for an uncomfortable situation? Especially in my church. Well, the author, Brett McCracken, again in his book, makes the point that when the church is most comfortable, it tends to be weak. When things are going well, when we're operating within our own comfort zones and our own preferences and our own strengths, if we expect nothing less than comfort in our church setting, then small things can seem like huge mountains. Little things can completely derail us. But he mentions when the church is uncomfortable, it tends to be strong. When we're outside of our comfort zones, when we're operating in strange territories, this is when we clearly see God at work and moving us in ways that we wouldn't have planned. And this is seen true in the history of the church, not just at Devonshire, but in the history of the church over the last 2,000 years. When we accept the uncomfortable and awkward aspects of what church is, that is when we'll see the church grow most significantly and when we'll see the gospel advance with its most power. Today, I want to take some time and just look at three areas where we might find the church to be uncomfortable. The first is when people in the church make us uncomfortable. Okay? Have you ever been in a situation where you met somebody and you instantly clicked? You had similar experiences. You had the same sense of humor. You got along with each other, right? It feels great. I mean, things are easy. It's easy to get along with that person. But it's not always like that, right? And if we take a step back and we look at this, it makes sense. I mean, everybody's coming from their own backgrounds. Everybody has their own personalities, their own, preferences and personal experiences. And, you know, in a workplace, this would be more accepting. We'd expect it. But in church, it just makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. Why does it have to be so hard with people? Why does it have to be so frustrating? But, you know, our comfort isn't our primary importance. This is a battle sometimes for us to live like a family. Paul reminds us in our passage in Ephesians that we're stones that are being built together into a dwelling place. Now that doesn't mean that we're all uniform building blocks. We're not identical. We're a diverse collection, right, of strengths and weaknesses, of gifts and talents and abilities and callings. It's the gospel that draws us together. It's the glue that unites us. One passage that, as I was preparing for this, one passage outside of the NLT, instead of calling us stones that are being put together in a dwelling place, another translation calls us oddly shaped blocks. Right? Oddly shaped blocks. I love it. I should love the fact that my brothers and sisters in this room think and look differently than me, act and plan differently than me, sing differently than me. It's a beautiful reminder of how God's pulled us together for a purpose. Not just because we're identical or even because we're compatible. Many times it's because we're not. It's because God has a specific purpose for this group of oddly shaped blocks. I should love the fact that the people that I'm around aren't like me in many different ways. Rather than being frustrated or hurt by that sometimes, I should take comfort in that. So, okay, like I said, three things. The first one is people. Time, there's times where people in the church can make me feel uncomfortable. But two, there's also when relationships in the church make me uncomfortable. Now, relationships can be messy anywhere, but you know, oftentimes in the church it happens. You know, we're together for years, week after week, and as we do life together, sometimes it's not easy and it can make things difficult. And uncomfortable can be called different names, right? It's not just temperature. It's not just feeling awkward. Uncomfortable can be called disappointment, hurt, frustration. And if we aren't careful, our natural tendency to find comfort can quickly and deceptively become our top priority. Now, everything about us, our church, our relationships, should point back to Jesus and the hope that we have in him. But often, and most times, unintentionally, we can find ourselves building our relationships about what makes me most comfortable. Pastor Mark Deaver wrote a book called The Compelling Community, and he describes two types of relationships in that he sees in churches today. One he calls gospel plus communities. Now here, relationships are formed around the gospel plus something else. He describes in the book two individuals, Sam and Joe. Now, Sam and Joe are both Christians, but the real reason that they're friends and that they get along with each other is because they're both single and in their 40s, or because they're both have the same occupation or enjoy the same sports. Now, there's nothing wrong with these types of relationships at all. Don't get me wrong. But if we're only interacting with people who we're most comfortable around, then it says little about the power of the gospel in our lives. Now, there's another type of relationship that he describes that he calls gospel-revealing relationships, where he says these relationships would never naturally exist except for the gospel, either because of the depth of care that is seen in that relationship or because they have so little in common except for Christ. Here, people are encouraged to get outside of their comfort zones and invest in relationships that are difficult and probably wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the gospel. He describes a small group where there's a family that has young children, but they meet in a college dorm room with students and they're sitting on futons and, you know, supporting each other and caring for each other and reviewing scriptures with young kids, and they're eating ramen noodles out of styrofoam cups. Now, that normally wouldn't happen, but other students, as they walk by, are going to say, how do you know them? Why are they here, right? And Jesus modeled this for us over and over again in Scripture. He had so little in common with the people that he did life with. Take, for example, the woman at the well. That was someone who, under normal circumstances, would have never had the opportunity to interact with Jesus. But she did, and it changed her life. See, Jesus wasn't in the business of making people feel comfortable. That wasn't his priority. And that's when we see the gospel at work. That's when we're operating outside of our comfort zones, and we see a church that knows that messy and uncomfortable relationships can be worth the risk and effort. So, people can make us uncomfortable. Relationships can often make us uncomfortable. Sometimes, though, there's just situations in the church that can make me feel uncomfortable. And everyone's been there. Take, for example, when I don't know the new song that we're singing. Or when the pastor is speaking on some passage that doesn't really affect me, as far as I think, right now. Maybe there's a long-standing tradition or event that I think has worked great for years, and it's changed, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm asked to help or serve in a new way, and there's people around me, and I'm uncomfortable, and I don't know them. All those situations that I just described are really about me. They're about my preferences. They're about my comfort. And at the root, it's really about my pride. right? It's about me knowing that my way is the best way for everyone. If we put our desires and our personal preferences as a top priority, we risk tearing apart the thing that we say we love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is quoted as saying, "Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." That is a tough question. He says, essentially, do I love my ideal dream of what I think my church should look like more than I love my actual church? Let's look back at our passage in Ephesians. The church there was struggling through the discomfort of having two different cultures mix. Now, we're modern Christians. 2018, we are post-race, post-culture, we're global. We would probably think to ourselves, we would not struggle with something like that. We would hope. But we let other divisions in the church get between us all the time. Not just race, not just cultures, right? We put up barriers between us all the time. I'm married and they're single. Like I said, I have small kids and they wouldn't want to put up with my mess and chaos. Sometimes we even let just the simple fact of generational differences be a barrier that gets between us. These are just artificial barriers that we're putting up, just like the church in Ephesus was putting up racial or cultural barriers in between them. But see, in our passage, Paul doesn't spend much time on that. Two verses and he's gone. He points out, yes, I know you're seeing differences. I know that it's tough for you. Then he moves on. He doesn't stay there. He reminds them that whatever they thought was separating them, these barriers, Jesus is so much greater than the divisions, and he's broken them down or destroyed those walls. Look at verse 14 with me. He says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." No matter how uncomfortable I'm feeling, I promise that Jesus has destroyed those barriers for me already. Whatever I think separates me, whatever I think makes me too uncomfortable to get past that situation or relationship, I promise that that's already taken care of. So what happens, right? If I open the door to the possibility that in a room of 200 people, my way might not always be the best way. What if that new song that I don't know and makes me feel a little uncomfortable, what if that song God is using today to speak a new truth into someone's life, for them to hear a new truth about him that they've never understood before? What if that pastor's sermon that I didn't think related to me right now is straight into someone else's struggle? What if this new event or this new structure of a tradition that, you know, I've thought worked great for years, what if changing that is opening it up to a whole new group of people that get to hear about Jesus now for the first time? Or, you know, me serving in a new way or in a new group of people that's not just the people I'm most comfortable with, is just God showing me that he's got the power to do things in me that I didn't think were natural or were going to happen. So, okay, we defined the tension, right? There's people, there's relationships and situations that can make me uncomfortable in church. It's not a great selling point. I'm not really selling this well, right? Church can make me uncomfortable. Fantastic. But don't worry, this is the conclusion. This is the part of the sermon, right, where we're gonna open up the scriptures. We're going to turn to a promise where God has shown us that our church won't be awkward and it won't be uncomfortable. But I can't do that. As far as I know, that's not promised to me in scripture. I'm not promised that my church is never going to feel uncomfortable, that I'm never going to feel hurt or frustration. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about Mary Poppins, right? The kids want a new nanny, and so they come up with a new song that's going to go in the job description, and they want to list out all the qualities that they want in a job description or a new nanny. And my wife could sing it for you. I'm not going to sing it for you, but they list out these different qualities, and it's, you know, they want only treats, and they never want to be scolded, and they only want things to be positive and happy, right? And a lot of times we can look at our church situations and quietly kind of assume that that's the way it's going to be. I want my church to be great, and I never want it to be hard or difficult or uncomfortable. But that's just not what God promises us. He never tells us it's going to be that way. So we have to look at this. If it's going to be uncomfortable, how do we apply that? What does it look like for us to accept discomfort in a church setting? One, I'd ask you to evaluate your church experience today. How comfortable are you? I'm not talking about temperature, but would you say that most of your interactions within our church are within your comfort zone? Are you only operating with people that you're most comfortable with? Or are you only serving in areas that you would say are a strength of yours? Have you ever taken part in something that seems too big or too hard to succeed? Things like that, it's when we see God working in us. If we're only in our comfort zones, we're going to limit ourselves. We're going to put ourselves under an umbrella of what we think is possible. Two, are you investing in a relationship that's not easy? I mean, that could be taking the time to build a relationship with a neighbor or a coworker that doesn't know Jesus. You can't just walk up to somebody and just lay the gospel on them. Often, people want to build a trusting relationship. They need to know that you're going to be there for them, that you are their friend, before they're going to believe what it is that you think is important. So are we willing to take the time to get into those relationships? Right? To build up that relationship and spend time investing in that. It's hard. It's not easy. And it can be uncomfortable. Three, are there conversations that you know need to happen and you've been avoiding them? It's hard, but those conversations are necessary. Take it from somebody who has hidden behind a park bench to avoid a conversation. It is not something that you're going to look back on and be proud of. As a church, we don't want to do that. We need to face those conversations head on. We need to grow and work through them. So instead of comfort, right, what if we expected discomfort? What if we were so strongly centered on our mission that we didn't let the little things, the discomforts, derail us? What if instead of getting frustrated at things in my church when they aren't easy, what if I remembered that we were oddly shaped blocks and that the gospel is what glues us together? And that gospel, that good news of Jesus, has already blown away any difficulties or any walls that I think are separating me. Back in our passage in Ephesians, Paul says, "We are stones that are being joined together and rising up to become a holy temple in the Lord." That doesn't happen if we're only operating in areas that we're most comfortable. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for blessing us with a church and the love and the friendship and the community that we find in it. But God, forgive us for the times where we found it too frustrating or too hard, times where we've pulled away or avoided the uncomfortable. God, give us strength. Help us to look through the situations that we think are too hard, too uncomfortable. God, God, help us to persevere. Help us to love our churches. Help us to love those in relationship with us, because just realizing the fact that we have so little in common except for you and except for what you've done in our lives and their lives. God, thank you for that. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.